Timothy, here's something you need to do. It would be like a senior pastor maybe telling a younger man, maybe an assistant or someone that's just come out of Bible college, hey, there's some things that I really think are going to be quite important for you to know. And Paul says to Timothy, here's one thing, you're going to have to learn how to be strong and be in grace. So before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that you are allowing us to understand truth. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we would learn truth this morning of how to be strong in grace. Father, we know we need it. Matter of fact, Paul kind of emphasizes it in the first six verses of how important it is. And so, Father, would we learn from your word this morning? We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. How many of you have ever had a child while they were in your home try to make a case for their request? How many of you have ever had someone, as growing up, they want to make a case? Maybe today, I know that many of you had children that the cell phone wasn't an issue, but for us that have children today, let me tell you, they want to build their case, right? They want to say, Dad, I need a cell phone. Maybe they're 13, okay? I don't really think they need one at 13, but maybe they're at 13 and they're like, hey, Dad, I need, or maybe they're 14, or maybe they're 15, whatever the age is, and they build their case. Maybe they say something like this, Dad, hey, Mom, I need a cell phone. Here's why, Mom, because if I ever get in an accident, I can call you. What are they doing? They're trying to show you the importance of it. Dad, Mom, if you ever want to know where I'm at, my phone is always going to be glued to my side. You can bang me. You can locate me. So, Dad, see why this is so important. Dad, Mom, if we ever got lost, you see what I'm doing? I'm doing what they do. They're trying to build the case of why it's so important that they have a cell phone. Let me restate it. They want to build the case why it's so important that you buy them a cell phone, right? That's really the scenario, all right? Well, Paul uses the same technique. Now, it's not a cell phone, okay, because we're in the Bible day, all right? But Paul, before he ever gets to how to be strong in grace, he kind of builds the case for why it's so important to be strong in grace. You say, where's that found? Well, look at verses 2 through 6. Look at some of the reasons why. He actually gives us, I think, about 4 or 5 reasons here of why it's so important, as he's building the case, that you and I be strong in grace. Look what your Bible says in verse number 2. The Bible says in verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others. Well, the first reason that I see that he says, hey, you need to be strong in grace, or kind of helps us, Charlie, understand why it's so important, is number one, he says, because you know what? You're going to need to educate others. You're going to need to educate others. Now, I don't know about you, but I told you last week that my wife and I, we homeschool our children. And, you know, when you're teaching kids facts, let's say math facts, right? And so you're going to try and teach your kids these math facts. But you know what I find? It doesn't matter what you do. Some kids just don't get it, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you try it, right? You try to illustrate it. Maybe you got pencils, or maybe you got Oreos. I find that Oreos are a great way of illustrating math facts, okay? 2 Oreos over here and 2 Oreos over here. And if you put them together, guess what? If you get the answer right, you get all the Oreos. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, oh, 2 + 2 = 5. No, it's not. Count them, all right? 2 over here, and we're going to add the 2 over here, and you're going to put them together. And what do you get? 4. Yes, you get all the Oreos. Now watch. But how many times have you given the test? They've taken the test. They go to school. You think, hey, we've gone over this so many times, they've got to get it. And then they bring home the test from their teacher, and they didn't get it, and you want to literally do this, pull your hair out. Now watch, that's over a simple math fact. Let's talk about real life. Let's talk about things that a little harder to discern what's right and what's wrong. Why? Because everybody else in the world's doing it. Let's talk about the things where we tell our kids, hey, you shouldn't do this, but then they see it in our lives. Help me out here. Do you think that it may take a lot of grace for your kids to grow up in this world and not be like it? Me and my wife, we had an hour traveling here, and we were talking exactly that thought. Okay, how do we explain this to our children? Watch this. So we don't come off to be judgmental of others, critical of others, but truthful, gracious. You see what I'm saying? Paul makes it real clear. He's like, hey, let me tell you, you have to be strong in grace. Why? Because you are going to have to educate others. And let me tell you, it's going to take a lot of grace. Why? Because sometimes you're going to teach them and they don't get it. And then you're going to have to go back and teach them again and they don't get it. And then you're going to have to go back again and they don't get it. And it seems as if it is worthless to keep on keeping on. And Paul says, let me tell you, young preacher boy, you're going to need to be strong in grace because you're going to have to educate others. But notice what else he says. Second reason, would you see what your Bible says? Look what he says in verse number 3. He says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, hey, I'm trying to build the case here why it's so important that you be strong in grace. And he says, not only are you going to have to educate others, you're going to have to endure. Well, he kind of brings us the illustration of being in a battle. He says you're going to have to endure hardness. That means you're going to have to endure difficulty that is going to come into your life as a child of God in this present world. And let me tell you, if you don't have grace, if you're not strong in grace, let me tell you, you are not going to endure. You're going to give in. And can I tell you, that's exactly what we got today. We got Christians that, let's just put it plainly, they've given in. Why? Because last time I checked, anytime you go to battle, it's not a cakewalk. It's tough. It's laborious. It is difficult. And Paul tells Timothy, hey son, listen up. You got a battle. Matter of fact, the battle is huge. The battle is against you and your God. And let me tell you, there's not a day it is in action. There's not a day you're not fighting. There's not a day that you can go on. There's not a moment that comes into your life that you say, you know what? I'm done. I won the victory. It's all over. We're good to go. See, that's what we kind of get the concept of. Hey, I won. Now listen. In sports, that works for a year. Okay? You're the champion for a year, right? Why? Because you won game 7, all right? So for 2016, when the Cubbies won, amen, all right? We were the World Series champions for that entire year. But guess what? 2017, we weren't the champs. But spiritually, get it? It doesn't work that way. You might have had victory, praise the Lord, that day. But can I tell you, tomorrow, he's out to get you. And what's he saying? You got to endure. And the only way you can endure is if you're strong in grace. Look what else he says. What's the third reason why he tells us we need? Look at verse number 4. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Number 3, the third reason is he says, not only are you going to have to educate, not only you have to endure, but you will not engage themselves with the world. Let me tell you, this is so popular today. We are so entangled in the web of the world that you can't discern a child of God from that of a child of the world. We've engaged ourselves. We have literally come, it has the idea of the spider web. You know the spider web. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but if you've seen one, and a lot of times when we leave our house for like 3 months at a time, 2 months at a time. Why? Because we go on the road and we travel in our fifth wheel. Well, when you come back, let me tell you, the spiders have taken over, right? They have developed a web in your home or outside your home, and they're just waiting for the prey to get caught in the web. Why? Because once they get caught in the web, it's done. The spider's got them. It's their lunch. It's their dinner. You know what Paul says to this young preacher boy? He says, let me tell you, the world is going to catch a lot of Christians. It's going to get entangled in the web. And let me tell you, once you're entangled in the web, it's going to be hard not to be a prey of the world. Can I tell you that's what we're dealing with? We do the same things the world does for entertainment. We listen to the same music that the world listens to. And can I tell you, once you get defeated, once you get discouraged long enough, here's what we do. Well, I guess there's nothing I can do. Can I tell you, is he building the case? Has he convinced you yet? Has Paul convinced you how important it is to be strong in grace yet? Okay. Has he convinced you? Okay, he hasn't. Well, let's go back and look what he says in verse 5, because he gives us more reason. Look at verse 5. And if a man also strive for the mastery, yet he is not crowned, except he strived lawfully. Hey, if you're ever going to understand how important it is to be strong in the grace, he says, five, he says, here's what you're going to do. Number four, we're going to have to eliminate certain things from our life. What are you talking about? Well, look what he says. If any man also strive for the mastery, it means literally this. If you want to win, if you want to live the life that God is going to give you victory, if you want to hear the phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant, look what he says. He says, verse number 5, yet he is not crowned victorious except he strive, what's the word class? Lawfully. He means this, you can't do what you want to do. You can't play the game the way you think it should be played. You have to do it according to what the word says, not the world. And see, Christians today, here's what we want. We want to live our Christian life according to our opinion, according to our preference, according to how we think it should be lived. So here's what we think. You know how I think I should be able to win? Here it is. Only come to church at 10:30. That's all I need. That's all I need. Now, how many people think that? Well, look around. Look around. I want you to notice who's here. Not to be judgmental, but at 11:30, I want you to see how many more people are here. Okay? So here's what, and I'm not talking the person that is sick and is like trying to make it, but they can only get one service, or, you know, they've gone through a loss of someone in this place. You know, it's just tough to get back into the room. I'm not talking about that person. I'm not talking to the person that really wants to be here but can't be here. I'm not talking about the person that, you know what, they get up at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday. They have plenty of time to come at 9:30, but they say, nah, I don't think it's important. I think I can win the race doing it the way I want to do it. Now watch. What have they done? They're not going to win the race. Why? Because they want to win according to their plan instead of God's plan. And what the Bible tells us, we need to be strong in grace, because we're going to have to eliminate some of that wrong thinking and wrong actions, Charles, and then in our life. So Mike, if we think that way, it's like saying, you know what? I'm going to win the baseball game. Here's why. I'm just going to run around the bases, and if they tag me out, I'm not out. I'm just going to go ahead and count myself as a run. Now, Is that reality? Does it work? Do you win? No. But that's exactly what we do spiritually. I'm just going to do my thing and run around the bases of life and, you know, tag all the bases. And yeah, if someone throws me out, if someone tags me with the ball, if I'm forced out, it doesn't matter. Because all that matters is that I think I win. Can I tell you? To eliminate that thinking, you're going to have to be strong in grace. But look at the last reason he tells us. Look at verse 6. I really think this could just be a message, Pastor Whitman, okay? And not even get to the other part, okay? But we got to get to the other part. Look at verse number 6. The husbandman, the farmer, that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Well, he says, hey, I'm trying to build a case here of why it's so important that you be strong in grace. And he says, because you're going to have to educate others. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to not get entangled with the things of this world. You're going to have to learn, eliminate some certain things in your life. And get this, you're going to have to keep on exercising. You say what? Laboring. Well, look what your Bible says. For the husbandman, that's the farmer, that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Here's my question. How many of you got a garden? How many of you have ever planted a garden? You get the concept, right? Now, some of us aren't really good. Matter of fact, our thumbs are brown, not green, all right? That's how it works, all right? We seem to not have that knack, that ability to bring life to plants, right? But the truth is, none of us, whether you got a green thumb or a brown thumb, none of us here think, hey, you know what? I'm going to plant the seed and get it. Tomorrow, I'm going to eat watermelon. Man, that's awesome. Tonight, I'm going to plant this seed, and tomorrow, I'm going to enjoy. Now, wait a minute. If you think that, you are definitely not a farmer. Okay? Why? Because all of us know that if you plant the seed today, tomorrow, you're not going to. Matter of fact, here it is. It's going to take a little while. Matter of fact, it's going to take a little work. Matter of fact, you're going to have to keep on working at it in order to yield the harvest that you desire. Can I tell you what it takes to keep working at something that you don't get satisfaction from every day? Can I tell you what it is? Grace. You say, what's grace? I probably like this definition the best, and I heard it from Bud Stedman. He said this, Pastor Bud Stedman said, grace is divine enablement. I like it. Now, we could say grace a lot of different things, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the positive things that we get that we don't deserve. There's a lot of definitions. But in Christian living, okay, can I really tell you that grace is that divine enablement? So Paul tells Timothy, let me tell you, Timothy, I know you're young, you don't have the experience I have, but let me tell you, you are going to have to be strong in grace. Now, 10 minutes, I'm going to give you how, okay? So go with me. And we just looked at how Paul says, hey, why? By the way, if you read your Bible, isn't it interesting? The Bible makes perfect sense when you read it in context. Okay, look at verse 7. Look what he says. Consider what I said. Hey, that's what we just did, all right? I just kind of made it a little more applicable to us, all right? Consider what I said, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Look at verse 8. How? How can we be strong in grace? Here we go. Two ways. Number one, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Number one, how do you be strong in grace? Well, it starts by receiving salvation. Okay? That's how you start becoming strong in grace. Why? Because it's the grace of God, is it not? Remember the verse Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by, what's the word, class? Grace, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For, look, matter of fact, let's turn over. It's one page in my Bible. Look what he says in verse 11, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I say it this way, there's only one thing that will deliver you from your sins. You know what it is? Grace. That's it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So what's God saying, or what's Paul saying to Titus? He's saying, hey, the only way you can ever be delivered from your sin is the grace of God. You say, well, preacher, I thought it was the blood. It is, but that's what the grace is. Why? Because grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. See, it's only that unmerited favor that God looked upon Pastor Whitman and said, all right, he is wicked. Someone say amen. All right. That's what I was saying. They were a little slow this morning. It's only the grace of God, that unmerited favor that says, okay, you have been an enemy to me, but even though you've been an enemy to me, I still love you. Matter of fact, I love you so much, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to actually send my son to die for you. Now watch. That's the beginning of how to become strong in grace. That's what he says, doesn't he? Look at verse number 8. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Isn't that what he was talking about? How that Jesus died for my sin, he was buried, and that he rose again in victory. Why? Because he had victory over the grave, he had victory over death, and he says, because I had victory, get it? If you trust in me, you can have victory. Well, I believe, if we think about it, none of us deserve that. And so we've experienced God's grace. But let me get to the heart of the message the second way. Look at verse number 9. Paul's speaking to the young man Timothy, and he says it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Let me give you number 2, and here's where we're going to park a little while. The Bible tells us that the second way that you and I will become strong in grace is not only receiving salvation, but number 2, responding to suffering. Now, I probably should say it this way, properly responding to suffering. You say, what are you talking about? Well, understand that when Paul is writing this letter to his young preacher boy, he's actually in prison. We've been to Italy now this November. We're actually going to be there for our fourth time. And we've gone many places in Italy. And we've been to the ancient city. We've been to the Colosseum. Well, when you go through the ancient city of Rome, at the end of the ancient city, there is the Mamertine prison. Can I tell you this? That's where Paul is writing this letter. You say, well, how nice is the prison? Do they have cable? Do they have a gym? Do they have basketball courts? Can you finish your GED? Not really. You see, the Mamertine prison is really a hole in the ground. But what's significant about this hole in the ground is that this hole in the ground is where the aqueduct system for the ancient city of Rome filled up when it got wet. So when rain would come, the sewer system, can we say it that way, the storm sewer system would fill up this hole called the Mamertine prison where Paul was. Paul, in later in the book, says, hey, would you bring me my cloak? You know what he's saying? Hey, it is nasty down here. It is moist. It's wet. That's what we noticed. It hadn't rained, okay? So it wasn't like it was flowing, but you can actually go down into the hole, down into the Mamertine prison. Now it's a tourist trap, okay? But you can go down in there, and you can feel how moist and wet and, you know, nasty it would be without water. You put water in there, and this is a pneumonia killer, okay? You're going to die down here. And that they didn't care about people. But Paul's saying, hey, I know what it is to suffer. Matter of fact, look what he says. verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Here's my question. Was Paul in prison because of evil doing? No. Why was he pastor in prison? That's what he was in prison for. Get that? So he wasn't. Matter of fact, we might say this. He is falsely accused. Look what else he says. Even unto bonds. Now, here's my question. That literally means he is chained up, sitting down in this place that he is being mistreated. Now, get that. So he's falsely accused. He's being mistreated. And here's what he says. I know what it is to suffer. Well, if we're ever going to be strong in grace, how? How does that happen? Well, in the rest of the chapter, he really gives us how to properly respond to suffering, okay? So I'm going to give it to you quick because we only got 2 minutes, okay? So I'm going to give you the 3 points, okay, that he tells us. If we're going to properly respond to suffering, number one, you got to set the goal. Look with me in verse number 10. He says, Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know what I'm telling you? Here's what Paul says. I am not. Here's my goal. Here's my setting. Set the purpose, okay? What's the purpose? Paul says, here's my purpose, that those that are around me will come to Christ. I tell you what. If that's your purpose, you are going to properly respond to suffering and you are going to learn what it is to be strong in grace. We don't do that, though. You know what our purpose is? It's not that others come to Christ through this suffering. But that was Paul's. Number two, I got to give them to you or else we're not going to get through, okay? Number two, you got to study the principles. Look at verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what I find, preacher? Many times we don't set the purpose, we don't study the principles. In fact, here's what we do. Instead of studying the principles, we start studying the problem. Instead of looking at the scriptures, we look at the storm. Get where I'm going with this? So what is all our focus on? Hey, here's our focus. Our focus is, all that we're focused on is our situation. Now, that's normal, okay? But remember, we shouldn't be dealing with our suffering the same way the world deals with it. Get that? We got something different. We got this thing called the God factor, okay? We got the one that says, hey, I could do anything that needs to happen. And so there's all kinds of principles he gives us in chapter 4, verse number 17. Look at that. Chapter 4, verse number 17. He says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. Hey, that's a great principle to study and dwell upon when you're suffering. Look at verse number 17. And strengthened me. There's another great principle to study and focus on rather than your situation. Look at verse number 19. And the Lord shall deliver me. I'm liking these, preacher. I'm liking these principles. Why? Because when I'm suffering, I'm thinking the world's coming down. The world's getting crashing. I'm not going to make it. And God says, whoa, 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 whoa. Remember, I'm the one that's going to deliver you. I'm the one that's going to strengthen you. I'm the one that's never going to leave you. Look at verse number 18. I love this. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will, next two words, class, preserve me. I'm liking this. Why? Because I can properly respond to suffering, not because I'm a super strong person or that my mind, I've got a psychology major, okay? That's not it. Here's why. Because it's got nothing to do with me. It's got all to do with Him. So I'm going to, number one, set the purpose. Number two, study the principles and get number three because we got to go. We got to shun the profane. Look at chapter 2, verse number 16. He says, but shun the profane and the vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I don't have time to dwell in it, but you know what I find? Sometimes the suffering comes from people. People we love. People we work with. People we go to church with. And you know what he says? Paul says this, I love this, and I think this is a very mature answer, a wise answer. He says, you know, sometimes you just need a break. Sometimes you got to put up the stop sign and say, all right, now listen, I'm not going to defriend you from my Facebook account. I'm not going to send hate emails, okay? I'm not going to gossip to everybody in the church how wicked you are, but the truth is, I can't hang out with you. Why? Because every time I'm with you, here's what happens. It goes down. I get hurt. And there needs to be a time where I can recoup, and I can get back in where I need to be spiritually, and I can't be strong in grace unless, get it, I shun the profane. Hey, can I tell you? If you properly respond to suffering, you too can be strong in grace. Father, thank you for your such love and care and grace that is bestowed upon us every day. Lord, we definitely see why we need it. Lord, we see how we can do it, but Lord, we need your strength to properly respond to it. So Father, would you help us do that this week? Would you help us today? Thank you for what you're going to do at 10:30 service. In Jesus' name I pray.